पतितं आलोक्य रजा वरे शकुन्तलं किं इदं कस्य वा वक्त्रम् इति संशिशिरे जनः शिरापतितम् आलोक्य राजद्वारे शकुन्तलं किम् इदं कस्य वा वक्त्रम् इति संशिरे जनः. Guess what? I'm just going to skip ahead because I only have 15 minutes left for the quiz. So with your kind permission, we'll just move ahead. Translation, seeing a head decorated with earrings lying at the gate of the royal palace, the people present were puzzled. Some of them asked, "What is this?" And others said, "It is a head. But whose is it?" Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And in the purport it says, Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. So we get Srila Prabhupada's, I guess, from Krishna book. When the head of the king of Kashi was thrown through the city gate, people gathered and were astonished to see that wonderful thing. When they found out that there were earrings on it, they could understand that it was someone's head. They conjectured as to whose head it might be. Some thought it was Krishna's head because Krishna was the enemy of Kashiraj, and they calculated that the king of Kashi might have thrown Krishna's head into the city so that the people might take pleasure in the enemies having been killed. Actually, he had told them earlier, the king of Kashi promised he would do that. But it was finally detected that the head was not Krishna's, but that of Kashiraj himself. Om Gyanati Miranda Shah Janjana Shalakya Chakshum Meditani Atashman Shri Buddha Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. Most of the time we get a chance to give class, we find, especially like Bhagavad Gita, but even the majority, you might say, classes you get to give on Srimad Bhagavatam, like yesterday's class, even though it was from the 10th canto, which is so heavily laden with Leela laden section of the Bhagavatam. Tamahara Prabhu was fortunate in that he got a text with some substantial philosophical content and purport. But we're finding, at least in this section of the 10th canto and probably a lot of other sections, there are a lot of just narrations in straight lila. So we normally find some philosophical theme or principle, and then we give examples as a typical way to deal with the subject matter. But in this case, I find myself obliged to do exactly the reverse. Here we find an example, and then I'm going to figure out which principle applies to the example rather than which example applies to the principle. So the example we're hearing here is that some of the residents of Kashi were completely ignorant as to Krishna's position. And that's confirmed by the fact that they were speculating that this first they thought that this is Krishna's head. So to think that someone could cut off Krishna's head and, Krishna's just a regular enemy, this is way off. So, but that was their mindset. And so this allows us to now very, very briefly discuss the principle of how easy it is to have a misconception about God or a misconception about if there is God and have some idea of God, but then who God is. So this is, why does that happen? Let's talk a little bit about it. The principle involved we hear in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11, Avijananti Mamuda, etc. Chapter 7, text 25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. And even in chapter 11, text 53, Naham Vedayana Tapasa Nadani Nana Chejaya, etc. That there are so many ways that are insufficient for knowing me, Krishna says. And one cannot, and in general, the idea is that foolish and unintelligent, they deride me when I descend in human form. There's a verse in the, you can also go to Bhagavatam itself, in the first canto, 11th chapter, I can't remember exactly which verse number right now, but it goes, Tam ayam manyate lokam. Hi asangam api sanginam atmo panyena manujam viprinvanam yato buddha. This is that due to ignorance, the many people, I'm just paraphrasing, they think that the Supreme Lord is one of them, atmo panyena. They think he's just like themselves. They think he's affected by material energy, or they even may think he has a body made out of material energy, but actually he's completely unattached. He's completely unaffected. This is in the context of Krishna entering Dwarka, and he seemed almost a little bit like a henpecked husband with the wives in Dwarka. And then immediately advice is given that we shouldn't think that Krishna is actually an ordinary husband or even an extraordinary material husband. So that's the principle is there. You know the other verses, 725, I'm covered my creative energy, yoga maya, etc. The example again is these residents of Kashi who were covered over, so they couldn't understand how Krishna, you can't cut off his head, it doesn't work like that. Many examples, I mean there's unlimited examples, billions and billions and billions and more, but we get notable examples like Duryodhana. He just took Krishna as an enemy. Sometimes he suspected maybe he's God, but still his mindset was that he even thought he could arrest Krishna when Krishna came to try to make peace in the assembly of the Kurus. Another example is it's either Kutila or Jatila or even Mukara. In Krishna Lila in Vrindavan, who thought that the residents of Vrindavan were lamenting because they're losing Krishna's manpower. He's not tending the cows. So they thought that's why they were unhappy, because they lost a great worker. I mean, that's about as, way off ignorant as you can get as far as Krishna's concerned. There's the Dobi of Mathura, who thought that Krishna and Balaram were just some boys who weren't behaving very well. And he ended up getting decapitated. Of course, there's so many others, Kamsa, Hiranyaksha. Sometimes they have some sense that Krishna is God. Like Hiranyaksha, he accepted, yes, Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, but I'm going to kill him anyway. And even favorable attitudes are, you can say, limited or conditioned by the spiritual moods, as we hear in the 10th canto, the famous description of Krishna and Balaram entering the wrestling arena of Kamsa, and how different groups of spectators saw them according to their own mindset, according to their own conditioning or their own spiritual bhav, their own mood. The cowherd men saw them as one of our own villagers, a homeboy. Of course, the ladies saw him as Cupid himself personified. The other men saw him as the best of all men. King Kamsa saw him as death personified. The impious king saw him as chastised. So the wrestlers saw him as Asanir, as a lightning bolt or a comet, something like that. The yogis saw him as the supreme truth. The etc., etc. There's a whole list. And people that you actually see that way when you're in a different time, we'll get to that. So this brings us into the general question of the topic of knowledge or epistemology. How can we know that our beliefs are justified? How can we know that we know? Prabhupada would give a simple epistemological or epistemic formula where he would say, criticize that people demand, show me God. And who can say, how would the devotee respond to that? Do you have the eyes to see God? And he said, well, I have eyes. In my case, they're not so great, but I have eyes, show me. It doesn't work like that. It's actually been empirical evidence and experiments that people actually see different things according to their different conditioning and different paradigms. The implication here is that people actually do see differently according to their particular mindset or paradigm. This runs parallel, or this corroborates with what we just call conditioning, that simple term for it, conditioning. But it also runs parallel to deeper levels that we all share a certain conditioning of, let's just say our conditioning could also be construed in terms of what kind of body we have, the modes that affect us, which is expressed as a material body. Also, it even goes even more fundamental, is what Immanuel Kant called a priori knowledge. In other words, there's built in, it's not a tabula rasa, it's not just an empty slate. Everyone's born with certain a processing system, using computer language. We're all born with a certain way of we process information, otherwise it would just be just a barrage of data. How we organize data. We start off with two really, really fundamental categories, time and space. So this is something we all share, although according to our respective conditioning, even that could vary. But in general, we all share this kind of conditioning. A dog, getting back to how we're conditioned by the body, they say that dogs see only black and white. I don't know what the latest state-of-the-art understanding is, but probably they still have that idea that dogs can only see black and white. So for a dog, there's no such thing as color. It's just the world is black and white, like the old TV says. Some of you may remember. So, this idea we actually see differently. What were those experiments? Can I get an extra 5 minutes? it'll cost me, but next time you'll subtract 5 minutes. Thank you. So regarding this, that actually see, so there were experiments where they would, I saw some people in the airport, and I felt sorry for them because they were playing cards. You know, what a waste of a life, playing cards. And they knew how to shuffle the cards very nicely, and they started dealing with each other. The plane was late, so they had something to entertain themselves with. Now, those who play cards, there's 52 cards, and I don't play cards. But I remember that there's 52 cards in the deck, and they have a certain, they're set. There's no such thing as like spades are black. It can't be red or something like that. So what they do is they put anomalous cards with the wrong color or something wrong in the deck, and they show it to people and they don't see it. They just don't see it. Until they show them very, very slowly, then they see it. There are many experiments like that. You pass out a picture, I mentioned this last time I was here, of a young lady and an old lady. It's one of those kind of and you show one picture is young lady, one picture is old lady, but then actually there's a third picture which combines both features, and you know, it's like a visual pun in a sense. You may have seen this kind of thing. And so they pass it out to everyone. First they pass, half the people get the old lady picture, half get the young lady picture, and they're told to look at that. And then they give them back. And then they give everybody the hybrid image. And those who first saw the old lady picture, they see this is old lady. And those who saw the young lady picture, this is young lady. They have no doubt about it. They're seeing it like that. But actually that hybrid picture can go either way. And there are even more deeper experiments than that, even gets into Rorschach tests, and where you just, according to your conditioning, you see, it may be an abstract design, but even children, they can see different things. One may see a monster, one may see something, some candy, or something like that, depending on how their brain is working. So, many other examples. Sahotra Swami, in his book, Substance and Shadow, gives example of three ways of seeing the same thing. You have, again, a lady, and the tiger sees the lady as lunch. This is lunch. That's what it is. There's no doubt about it. Typical lusty man, you know how he sees a beautiful young lady. And then a renunciate, an ascetic, he sees the same object as pus, stool, urine, bile, etc. And that speaks for itself. So take it from another angle of vision. We go back many hundreds of years, we get to Saint Augustine. So he made a distinction, famous distinction, between knowledge and acknowledge. And even more clearly to the point is cognition and recognition. Supposing President Obama, who, despite all his faults, got mercy from the Vaishnavs, especially specifically from Radha Swami, as you most of you are aware, 15 minutes encounter, speaking about spiritual topics. Supposing President Obama came in here. Now he'd say, oh, this is some Afro-American gentleman has just come to the class. So we're having cognition, we're seeing him, but some of us may not have recognition. We might say, this is the President of the United States. You see, it's very simple. So when it comes to Krishna, it's the same thing. People, they saw him, it's not like they didn't see him. Go to Bhagavad Gita 7:25, the first paragraph of the purport. Prabhupada said, it's not that when Krishna was personally present, everybody recognized him. They cognized him, to invent a word, or they had cognition, they saw him. Maybe they saw he was very beautiful. Maybe they were attracted, but they didn't know who he was. Now, we're not talking about those very fortunate Vrijabhasis like Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, who were blessed with the sublime aspect of Yoga Maya that that partially shields from their view the majestic feature of the Lord. But talking about people in general, that's who Prabhupada is referring to mostly, that they saw him, but they didn't see him. I even gave the example of the dobi in Mathura. He saw Krishna, but he didn't recognize Krishna. You know, this is much more powerful than my boss, King Kamsa. But to speak of, we're hearing about Pondraka. That's another example. He personally saw Krishna in Dwarka, but he didn't recognize Krishna. He thought he was the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So the statement in the first canto of Bhagavatam by Bhishma Dev, one of the Mahajans, he says very, very clearly, he says, Esha Vai Bhagavat Shakshad Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Mayaya Lokam Kudas Charati Vishnishu. And paraphrasing the translation, he says, actually, this Krishna, he's the original Narayan, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme personality of Godhead. But he's bewildering us with his own self-created energy. and walking among the descendants of the Vrishni and Andaka dynasty as if he were one of us. But I know who he is. Like that. Of course, in the case of Lord Chaitanya, it's very forgivable not to recognize he was Lord because he was taking special pains to disguise himself as Jana Avatar. But in the case of Krishna, it's a fault, you might say, that it's a limitation not to have seen, not to recognize, except in the case of the intimate devotees who were purposely put into that type of maya, so they can interact very closely. Others may not have recognized. It's even described that the members of the Yadu dynasty, they had cognition, here's Krishna, he was their worshipful lord, the head of the Vrishni Yadu dynasty, and they also had recognition, but only up to that he was super soul. They didn't have Bhagavan consciousness, you might say, or consciousness of him as Bhagavan. Okay, so now we're going to have a conclusion. What is the conclusion? The conclusion, again, is the culmination of all epistemological statements you can ever come up with. What is epistemology? How can I know that my belief is justified? How can I know? How can I really know that I know? It's like we have Srila Rupa Goswami gives his thesis. We've been hearing that quoted a lot, even here these days. I remember it was quoted sometimes. The Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Navritam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam, what is it? Bhakti Uttamam. Bhakti Uttama, okay. So that, the reason I'm mentioning that, not to change the subject, the reason I'm mentioning that is just that it's a successful attempt in one sutra, in one very, very concentrated statement to cover all the bases and define something. What is pure devotional service? And most of you know all the different components of that. And it gets quite detailed. Even yesterday, I think we heard something about that. Now, the whole exercise, endeavor, the whole industry in philosophy courses called epistemology is to try to get a equally compact sutra or definition of what is knowledge. That's the whole point. And they write big, thick books of it. And they try to, in one sense, they always find reasons why, it's almost like leads to skepticism. They find reasons why knowledge is almost an impossible project. But getting back to the conclusion that I was about to mention, what is it? Tarko pratista shuteyo vibina. Nasav Shir Yasya, what is it? Da Vibina, no, Matam Nabina, Dharmo, someone know the verse? Where's Pushkar? What's the third line? Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. You all know the last line. Right? So, that is the conclusion. In other words, the real epistemology is shabda, is hearing from authority. That is the real reliable source. If we're hearing from shabda, then we know. But of course, it has to be qualified, because even in that very verse, the shabda, you can say, is shabda brahma, is the scriptures, but that's also as mentioned in the second line, in the first line, Shruti Vibina, that they're variegated. So you have to hear from the Mahajans. In other words, we have to hear from Shastra, but from Sri Guru Parampara. We have to hear from the Mahajan, Bhishma Dev Mahajan. So you see how he certainly earned that title, that he could identify. He's Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, regardless of what anyone else may think he is. So that's safe. And speaking about safes, I know that Prabhu Madan Mohan will really, really be happy that I'm going to do a word play. He loves to do word plays. Speaking of safes, if you had a big safe And there was something really, really valuable in the safe. Not just the severed head of Kashi, but something really wonderful, really valuable. Zillions of dollars. And you wanted to open that safe. Can you do it by speculation? Good luck. You know, you'd have like one in a trillion, trillion. You have to hear what is the combination, how to open it. So to open the treasure house, say in the case of Bhagavad Gita, of the middle six chapters, you have to have the combination, you have to know the code, you have to know how to do it, then it's not so difficult. So it's the same thing, how to become Krishna conscious, how to know that you know, how to, even it sounds reflexive, but even the epistemology you get, and it actually works. But then again, part of the epistemology is Anuman has its limits. So if it sounds illogical, that's okay, because the conclusion is that logic itself can only go so far. Tako pratista, apratista. Anyway, that's a whole subject. So the conclusion is Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We can know that there is God. We can know that our belief of God is in God is justified, and we can know who is God. Not like those people in that, some of you may remember that old movie or video with Tamal Krishna Goswami, I think it was in Fiji, and he had like many Indian background people, and he said, who is God? And there were like about 15 different answers. I think maybe one person said Krishna, but everyone else was saying Satya Sai Baba. Someone was saying Lord Shiva, Hanuman, this one, Durga Devi. So we're on really solid ground. To understand these things takes a little bit of thoughtfulness. Is that Sita D. Mooney there, rocking back and forth in the corner? Jai, Haribo, great to see you, Professor Mooney. But remember, Nishab Vishir Yasya Matam Nabina. One is not considered a great Muni unless his opinion differs from others. Unless one is a Stita D Muni, then it's okay. They're all on the same page. Thank you for your kind attention. Any question or comment, real fast, this will be like lightning. Lightning, relampago, they say in Spanish. It's kind of late, but if someone has a burning issue, we can... Okay, please. Be brief.
So this point, which we didn't take into consideration, Kashi is the headquarters of Lord Shiva. Kashi is the city of Shiva. So these people even though it's not mentioned, may have been Shivites, and they think Shiva is the supreme Lord. So Krishna is nothing to them. I mean,
that's a plausible statement. Thank you. It's plausible. I accept that it's plausible. That's it. Thank you all for your very kind attention. Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Vaishnav Thakur, Ki Jai.